Take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. 2 Timothy 3. We're going to be continuing to talk about this thing of commitment. And we've talked about many topics concerning commitment. And just recently, of course, talked about our tithes and offerings and things like that. And we ought to certainly be committed in that area. And those things are important. But here's another one, an area that we should be committed in to the Lord. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. Beginning in verse 10, Paul says to Timothy, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Now, you do know that over in 2 Peter, on Sunday night, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Bible, where Peter said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You understand that Paul said here to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We know that Paul said elsewhere in the scriptures that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is all consistent. And then he says in verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So if we're going to be successful in our Christian life, this book has got to be our focal point. Okay? It has to be our center, if you will. All right? Now, the Bible tells us that upon salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God guides us into all truth. We've heard it preached many times through this pulpit, through me, that thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth that we need to be most familiar with and care about. And so when we talk about this thing of commitment, we need to have a commitment to the scriptures. Now, the study in 2 Peter has helped me, help you bring this to the surface again. And Brother Andrew has just received his next class for his studies, and he's studying biblical apologetics. Okay? And now we're coming through this tonight about a commitment to the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Probably more than any other thing, this book is under attack. The devil hates the Bible. He hates it. And he doesn't want it to affect us. He doesn't want it to shine in this dark world. I read to you about how Peter said that it's this light that shines in a dark place. The devil wants to snuff it out. He doesn't want Brother Freeze sending Bibles and gospel tracts all over South America. I want you to read, Brother Fries gave me a new update there with what's going on there in the Latin American Missions Project. And I'm telling you, the devil hates when God's word gets out into hands of missionaries and preachers and to the common people, and people are saved and baptized and added to the church. The devil hates that. And it begins with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Timothy is being encouraged here to stay true, or if you will, to stay committed as a young pastor to the scriptures. Many think that at this time, Timothy was perhaps the pastor there at Ephesus, or in this time period. There are other thoughts about Timothy and his travels and what he did, his vocation. But many agree that he was indeed a pastor and at Ephesus, but probably during this time. But can I tell you something? What a wicked place that was. Okay? With the temples and all the devil worship and all that things that were going on. This is a young man that needed to be encouraged to stay committed to the Word of God. Committed to doctrine. Listen, I don't care what you call yourself, but if your doctrine doesn't come from this book, you're not right. I don't really care what name you go by. If you say you're Baptist, if you will, which most Baptists, well, I can't even say that anymore. If you really are a Baptist, your doctrines will line up with the scriptures. That's why we've chosen that name. And you know what? Some Baptist churches out there, it's not like that anymore. I just heard recently, I don't remember where, or it doesn't really matter, but someone said that they went to a Baptist church, and the Baptist church was allowing a woman to be a pastor. Well, I'm sorry, but you ain't Baptist. You should take your name off the sign if you're going to do that. Because that's not a doctrine according to the Word of God. And so, yeah, well, that ruffles a lot of feathers, but too bad. Doctrine divides, amen? But the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We need to be committed to doctrine. Don't be ashamed of what we believe. We believe what we believe because it's what God says. And let me just say something about this thing I wasn't always part of this kind of a church. I chose it because it matches up with this book. And that's what I want in my life. In my personal life, I want to match up with this book. And here's the thing. I hate being wrong. I really do. I despise it. If you know my temperament, my personality, I don't like being wrong. So I try really hard to be right. And sometimes that rubs people the wrong way because they consider me arrogant then. I don't think I'm arrogant. I think that carries a different connotation. I'm just confident because I like being right. So if I'm right all the time, some people that aren't right all the time, they take offense to that. You know, because, well, you're always right. Well, yeah, I want to be right. You want to be wrong? You know, it's like, you ever have an argument with somebody, you always think you're right. Well, yeah, I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. It makes sense to me. It doesn't make sense to them, but it makes sense to me. But we need to be confident about it. Can I tell you something? I'm not confident about being right because I'm a Baptist. I'm confident about being right because it lines up with what this book says, and this book is right. So that's what it is, and that's what we need to be committed to. We need to be committed to doctrine. Hey, we need to be he says here, for reproof. You know, reproof is just saying, that's wrong. We should be able to be committed to say from the Bible, that's wrong. And it's not a hate crime. No, it's not. And it doesn't mean that I don't like you or I I think you're trash. It doesn't think, it's not that at all. It just that means that God says this is wrong, so guess what? This is wrong. It's that easy. And at the same time, that, hey, this is right. You know, in our society today, people are so thin-skinned, they can't take reproof. And you don't even have to tell them that they're wrong. That's the next step. That's correction. Okay? That's being rebuking someone is actually telling them that they're wrong. Reproof is just saying that's wrong. This is not right. Well, correction is you're wrong. Now, they really don't like that. Because, you know, you can't tell anybody that they're wrong. And guess what? That's why this world hates this book. Because they don't like to be told they're wrong. Well, I can believe what I want to believe. Well, honestly, that's true. But one day, you are going to be accountable to the God of the universe. And to His Word, the books are going to be opened. And this is one of the books that's going to be opened. And people are going to be judged out of these books. You know, you understand that this is how it's to be. But God doesn't just leave it there. He says it's for instruction in righteousness. He says, hey, not only is stuff wrong, and not only are you wrong, but I want you to be right. I want you to live right, act right, do right, and if you will, be committed to that which is right. So these things all come through the Scriptures. In Isaiah, God says about His Word, He says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, as I talk about tonight, our commitment to the Bible, to the Word of God, we need to understand that this is a living book. It's alive. It's God's Word. And we need to latch onto it, be committed, be immersed in it, make it our life, that we're in it, we're about it, we have it in us, it's coming out of us, it's our everything. You know, you like everything bagels, right? I mean, the everything seasoning, you know, because it's got everything in it, right? I mean, it's good. You don't like it. I like it. Well, you know, some people don't like the Bible. No, I'm not going to compare it to that. But there isn't a circumstance in human history that this thing doesn't answer. It's for your whole life. And so we've got to be committed to the Word of God. We must believe that this book is the Word of God. Some people say, and I've heard it said before, that this book contains the Word of God. I hate that answer. I do. I despise it. Because if you're going to say that, well then what parts are and what parts aren't? And how can you know? Did you write it? No. Listen, can I tell you something today? This Bible was translated in 1611, okay? Can I tell you something about our world today compared to 1611? Our education system is worse than it was in 1611. Okay? We dumb. Capital D-U-M-B. Or just D-U-M. Maybe we've had too many dum-dums, right? You are what you eat. We dum-dums, okay? Yeah. They're the level of English, the English language was at a pinnacle at that time. People were in college at 14 and 13 and 12 and 15 years of age. Just crazy. These translators, they knew 6 and 7 and 8 languages. They could read them, write them, and speak them. I can't even speak English well. Or I should do it right. I don't even speak English good. Okay? Yeah. I try to grate on English as much as possible. But we need to understand that this does not just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. See, that's being committed to it. And you know what? I don't need to be double-minded in this and unstable, wishy-washy. I need to be stable, single-minded, that this is the very Word of God. And I need to be committed to it. You know what? When someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," we should want them to pay attention. That's what God wanted them to do, right? Pay attention to the prophets, to those that spoke in his word and his edicts and his intentions and his judgments and his blessings, all the things that he ever said. He said, "Tell them, thus saith the Lord." Well, I can say this is the mind of God. This is what God wants. This is what God wants for the Christian. This is what God wants for the people that don't know Christ. This is for what God wants for those who are staying righteous, for those who are backsliding. The Word of God is for us. And we need to be committed to it. We believe that this book is supernaturally inspired. That, if you will, it's supernaturally produced. God has done this above that which man is able to do. It's supernatural. There is only truth here. There is only perfection here. Because if it has error, it's not of God. It's not God's word if there's error. God's without error. He's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So God has given us, and this should be the true center of the Christian life, and the supreme standard by which all of our conduct, all of our creed, all of our thinking, all of our opinions, all of our wisdom should be tried against this book. It should be our all. And so we've talked about our commitment of our time and our management of our time, our commitment of our talents and abilities and the management of those, the commitment to our treasure and to the Almighty God who owns everything. And now we're kind of talking about something that encompasses all of these things, but it's to our commitment to the Word of God, to this book. This book has got to be the life blood for us. It ought to be flowing through us. And we need to manage it. Okay? We need to manage it. So, Paul tells Timothy, continue in these things that thou hast learned. He says, you've known the Holy Scriptures. And he says, you need to continue in them and continue to do it. Another passage, he tells him to give attendance to reading. Supposed to read it. And you're supposed to study it, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, and you know what? David says we're supposed to meditate upon it. In Nehemiah, you know, one of my favorite verses, Nehemiah 8:8, that they read in the book of the law distinctly. And so then they gave the sense. You know, this is important. We put out Bible reading schedules because we want you to be committed to the Word of God. We give out Sunday school outlines and Sunday school books in some of the classes. And the kids have take-home papers. Why? Because we want them to study the Word of God throughout the week. To be committed to it. And let me just tell you something. If you're going to be a good manager, don't you think you should understand the handbook that the owner has for your position? Right here. When I was a staff member at Trinity Baptist Church, every year we had to read the handbook. We had a side of paper that says, I've read and understand the handbook, blah, blah, blah. You know, that I promised to follow it and all those things. It was a, you know, big, long thing. And I had to actually sign it, and they put it in my file. Come on, you have that at your workplaces? I think most everybody does these days, right? Some kind of code of conduct or handbook or something like that. All right? I've been teaching my children to drive. And the first thing I told them is, don't drive like I drive. Because I probably don't follow all the rules like I should. So I said, I'm a bad example of a driver. But here's what I tell them. Drive by the rules. You know, they study the rules. They take a test, right? And I said, don't drive the way I drive. I've been driving for, you know, over 30 years. You get lax about some things, right? And actually, I haven't kept up to date if there are new rules or modified rules or changed rules. I don't even know. So I guess maybe I should do that. But here's the thing. I said, as a beginning driver, you should go by the rules, the letter of the law. That's important. Why? It'll keep them safe. Because they don't have, and I'm not saying this is an excuse, but I can make this, I'm going to make this connection here in just a minute. But as I've experienced driving for 30 years, so I'm a lot more confident in the things that I do illegally. Okay? Now, that's not an excuse. I'm get to a lesson here. But you know what? We've been saved for a long time. Don't we kind of skirt the law a little bit? We get a little lax sometimes. Hey, maybe we should get back to the rules, our level of commitment. You know I can be a better driver. I probably should be a better driver. But I know I can be a better Christian and probably should be a better Christian. See, the things kind of correlate together, right? Listen, we need to make sure we're committed to the Word of God. The Bible, as Peter said, it's not cunningly devised fables. It's the truth. It's these eyewitness accounts of things that were recorded by God and given by God. It is the Word of God. It's God's written revelation to man. It is what God wants us to have. You've heard me talk about this in Sunday school, that this, if this book contained everything that human history could contain, we wouldn't be able to carry it around. So God says, this is what I want you to have. And you know what, folks? I've read this Bible many times, but I read through things and I just sit back and I wonder, why did God put that in there? He could have put anything in there. And he chose to put that. So that helps me to say, okay, well, let's find out why. There must be a reason. God's not some arbitrary weirdo that just puts in things wherever he wants. No, he's very purposed. That God has a purpose. He's God. He's extremely responsible, right? I mean, he has to be. So you say, well, what about the so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so? What prophet is that? Let me go back to here to our text tonight. All scripture is profitable. Even the begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so's. God chose to put it in there. So it has a purpose. It has a plan. But God has given us this book. And so I just want to leave you with a thought tonight. I'm going to talk some more about this next week too. Because I do want to give you, I'm not going to go through a whole apologetics class, but I do want to give you some more information to help you to have some footings and some handholds, if you will, to hang on to this book in a commitment. We need to be more committed to this book. Your Christianity is going to be attacked more as the end times approach. So if you're going to be attacked more, what do you need to know more? The book. Okay? And guess what? We talked about this just recently, that there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that come in. It was Sunday night, right? We talked about that. So guess what you need to know? The book. Because if you don't, you might be sucked into something that draws you away from the Savior. Because you know what Peter said about that? He said that they were denying the Lord that bought them. Remember that? And what did he use to say there? He said that they bring in damnable heresies. You know why people believe damnable heresies? Because they don't know the book. We'll be done tonight, but Brother Winkle worked at the Mint there in Fort Worth for many years while he was going through Bible college. And, you know, so he was one of those guys that printed money. He would never bring any free samples around. I wish he would have. But that would have been great. But, you know, they tell about teaching people about counterfeiting. And the way that they get people to understand counterfeiting is they have them handle just obscene amounts of real money. So they know how it feels. So that way when they slip one in that's counterfeit, when it goes through their hand, they're like, whoa, that don't feel right. It doesn't feel like, oh, this, because you know, you get to know how it feels. The paper, the weight, the ink, how it looks, how, you know, all of it. And when one comes through that's different, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, that's not real. How well do you know this thing? So that when an idea, when a doctrine, when these cunningly devised fables comes through, you're like, whoa, I'm not so sure about that. Huh? But if you're not committed to this thing, if you don't know this thing, those things may come and you're like, oh yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, we should look into that. Why do we, huh? Because you just don't know. And now you're helping lead a crusade of splitting a church with false doctrine. Why? You said, well, but I didn't know. You sounded so good. Okay, yeah, but it's because you didn't know this. So we've got to be committed to the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, to rightly divide it. It's got to be in us and through us. Yes, it has to be the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. It is the Word of God.